Well, good morning and happy Friday, Sower Nation. It is Friday, August the 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Now, we all know we finished the Summer of Encouragement series yesterday. But today, we're coming in for a little bit of a curtain call, an encore, call it. It's a recap. So let's begin with consecration. We got to get this Friday started. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry, but encourage one another, recap. Our text, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. As a kind of encore today, I want you to enjoy this series of quotes from across the series over the Summer of Encouragement. Here's number one. This is our definition. To encourage, in the biblical sense of the term, is to stand in the stead and agency of Jesus, participating in the work of the Holy Spirit to minister grace to human beings at the level of their inner person, communicating, conveying, and imparting life, love, courage, comfort, consolation, joy, peace, hope, faith, and other dispensations and manifestations of the kingdom of heaven as the moment invites or requires. Number two, courage is not the absence of fear, discouragement, or despair. Courage is the presence of Jesus. Jesus is all the courage of God in a human person. The main thing, my friends, is the right here, right now presence of the person of Jesus. It is not so much about practicing the presence, it is about presencing the person of Jesus. Number three, to encourage someone in the midst of a trial is to greet them with the embrace of Jesus. Welcome them into the house of love, and sit with them until they are ready to walk again. And then wander in the wilderness with them until Jesus leads them into the room of joy, where he himself, in his timing, assigns purpose and meaning to the painful trial. It can take years. This is what he does. He doesn't need explainers. He needs people who will sonder and then wander and then wonder, but mostly love, love, love. That is the shape and sequence of encouragement. Here's the next one. The joy of the Lord is not a silver lining in an otherwise dark cloud. The joy of the Lord is the revolutionary presence of Jesus Christ himself in us, transcending our mortal bodies with his eternal life, presence, encouragement, perseverance, love, power, and all the possibilities this means. The joy of the Lord is not a, quote, but look on the bright side approach to life. This is no glass half full mentality. With Jesus, there is no glass, only fullness. Next one. Over the course of our lives, all of us have been through difficult trials, unjust treatment, unforeseen losses, tragic deaths, life-stealing diseases, betrayals, relationship failures, and all manner of pain and suffering. These things create wilderness seasons that can go on for long periods of time. These are the places where we slowly and often imperceptibly lose faith in God. We would rarely identify it as such, but we begin to shrink back from real trust. We believe in principle, but not in an everyday kind of trusting reality. We take on a wilderness wound, and our hearts slowly begin to harden. We don't so much choose hardness as we fail to pursue healing. We allow a wall of protection to be constructed around our heart. And while it does protect us in some ways, it also slowly and imperceptibly isolates us from God and others. This is how sin deceives us. We mistakenly focus on sin at the level of our behaviors, but our behaviors are merely the symptoms of the sickness of sin. Sin, in its deepest essence, is the condition of an unbelieving heart. And an unbelieving or untrusting heart inevitably becomes a hardened heart. And a hardened heart is the most dangerous place on earth. Last quote. Encouragement, in the biblical sense of the term, is about personally and particularly hearing the voice of God from another person. As we encourage one another, we learn to speak to one another in the voice of God, in the humble authority of Jesus, in the loving power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for encouraging us, even me, by your word and spirit. You are my courage. Thank you for making me one of your encouragers of others. Indeed, for encouraging others through me daily, as long as it is called today. It is all for your glory, for others' gain, and for my good, and in your name. Amen. The journal prompts, what are your takeaways from the summer of encouragement? I encourage you to seize the moment. It's going to be Saturday tomorrow. By the way, brilliant Holy Spirit story coming tomorrow. You're going to love it. Yeah. Write your takeaways down.
Okay. Listen, good news today in the great finale of the Summer of Encouragement. This is not the finale. That was yesterday. You know what today is? It's the curtain call. It's the encore. The encore.
Amen.
And Dad and I are here. We're going to be singing the great anthem of joy. I can't believe I hadn't thought of it before now, but it's number 8 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. And by the way, I know a lot of you out there have the hymnal, and many more of you need it. So we've talked about it getting into your church. I would love to get it into your house. Dad, you got one in your house, don't you?
I sure do.
And I do too, and I'd love for you to have one, and you can see the link. It's always in the email every day. We link to the Great Redeemer's Praise, And we'd love to get one on the way to you. Because, you know, down through history, the two books, the Twin Towers, now one, of course, is different and not like the other, but it's the Bible and the hymnal. As I like to say, the hymnal is to the Bible as Peter is to Jesus.
Amen.
So it's not of the same order of magnitude, but friends, it's been, they've companioned all the way until now. And we've got to bring it back. Let's do it. All right, Dad, we're going to sing Joyful, Joyful number 8. We'll sing all four verses.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
This way. Let's go up a notch.
Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars begin. Love divine is reigning o'er us, binding all within its span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
That's good right there. It says, ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. It's just telling us right there that just like Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In the world, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's who we're following. You know, Jesus, good gosh, he took it on. He took it. He paid it all. He paid the price. He took our sins. He bore our burden. You know, I like to say in my church in Gillette, he paid a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. We could not pay. And you know, for it says, for the joy set before him. He, if we kind of feel like we're having a hard time and terrible things have happened and bad things have happened to, you know, so-called good people, Look at Jesus. The worst thing happened to the best person. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. I love how Hebrews 13, it keeps on going. He says, how does he put it? He says, not many of you have I'm looking for my text. Can't find it. Anyway, go read the rest of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, not many of you have had to put up with what he had to put up with. He says, not many of you have shed blood. You know what? I'm in that group. I've not shed blood. And just want to close out here by reminding us of, I guess it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which says, you know, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're struck down, it says, but not destroyed. And he goes on and he says, therefore we do not lose heart. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is passing away, but what is unseen is eternal. That's why we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. Can't wait for this gospel series. It starts on Monday. That's what it's going to be all about. We're going to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We're going to look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's where we're headed on Monday. And we're going to go 89 days in a row. No Holy Spirit story on Saturday, no psalm on Sunday, just straight Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, all the way to John chapter 21. We'll finish the race on November the 28th, and that's a Saturday, and that very next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent. We begin the whole awakening calendar afresh. It's going to be a great fall together. I hope you're inviting your friends. I hope you've gotten the Gospels journal. And you're going to be ready to roll. I know I am. We got lots of good surprises. We've had a good week in Franklin this week. We've had Chris Tomlin with us. We've done some great songs together. We're going to be featuring his brand new record releasing up here in September. The King, he sings this song, says, the blood is still the blood, and the King is still the King. And we've got that to look forward to. And we're going to sing some hymns with Chris, and Dad will be back with us on that series. So the best is yet to come, friends. It's been a joy to be with you through the summer of encouragement. We're going to take that with us on the road and get your seeds together. For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We will see you on the field.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.